This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Tim Winter with us on the program. Tim is president of the Parents Television Council, a nonpartisan media watchdog and education organization. The PTC just released a new study analyzing the content of so-called family shows on broadcast television and found that a whopping 99% of the most popular shows about family life contain adult content that is not appropriate for children. We're going to be talking with Tim today about those findings, as well as how parents can best protect their children from inappropriate content on television. Tim, welcome to the program. It's so great to have you back with us on the show.
John, good day to you and your listeners. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I hope everybody's having a wonderful and joyous holiday season here.
Well, thank you, and we hope you do the same. Tim, tell us briefly about the new study, Remembering Family, Insights and New Research on Family and Media. What was the purpose of the study? How many programs did you look at, and what kinds of programming was included?
The purpose of this study was to really help parents get an understanding of what's on television, what's on primetime broadcast television that features family as an integral part of the plot lines, the storylines to these broadcast TV shows. Hollywood makes a very bold statement in that they want to bring families, children, and so forth to their television programming as part of their television, part of the plots and so forth, in order to bring a broader audience to the show. And what we wanted to see was, are shows that are about families safe for family-friendly viewing? And sadly, what we learned is that these programs are, just because they're about families, doesn't mean that they're safe for families to watch.
Well, what type of programming did you look at in conducting the study?
Any broadcast television show that featured family as integral to the overall show itself. Some of these were comedies, some of them were dramas. It included everything from the usually explicit Family Guy, and even sometimes explicit The Simpsons, and some of the animated shows that are very edgy, to shows like Dad's, The Goldbergs, Mom, The Millers. Again, shows that are mostly situation comedies, but also shows like Blue Bloods, which is a police drama with Tom Selleck that is one of the rare instances where they actually show families displaying some sort of faith in a positive way. So it really was kind of across the board, dramas, sitcoms, but these were primetime shows that air when families traditionally sit and watch television together, and that are over the publicly owned airwaves. These are not cable shows. These are broadcast television shows.
Well, Tim, one of the most disturbing findings from the study is that a majority of television shows that are touted as family programs actually include a great deal of sexual content. Tell us what you found regarding the amount of sexual content in many of these TV shows, and give us some examples, if you would, of course, remembering that in our audience, we do have some younger ears that are listening.
You know, when you think about sitting down and watching a show about families with your family, you'd think it's something that you could do safely. What we found is that of these shows about families, believe it or not, 81% of the shows about families contained sexual content. Now, the sexual content could be something like dialogues. It could be depictions or descriptions of sexual behavior and conduct. It even includes, believe it or not, some nudity, where certain parts of the body are pixelated or blurred. But when you look at the show, it really can be quite a shock if you are sitting down with your family watching a show about families to be hit in the face with nudity. We found that very troubling, very vexing, and we wonder what the TV networks are thinking when they feel that as part of shows about family, they have to include some very graphic sexual content.
Well, it certainly is a great concern, and as the parent of two teenagers, it is something that my wife and I are always on the lookout for, because you never know, especially with some of the program, not just the shows themselves, but the networks that are promoted as, you know, such and such family, that it's a family network, and those seem to be, in some cases, the worst offenders.
Indeed. You know, you have, this is not an HBO or a Cinemax or a Showtime where, you know, you pay extra money if you want to watch that kind of stuff. These are the broadcast TV networks that use the publicly owned airwaves to bring their signal to every home in the country. And the networks that, you know, most of us who are, let's just say we're in our baby boomer category, I won't tell you which end of the baby boomer category I'm in, but those of us who are baby boomers, you know, grew up watching a lot of the stuff that the golden age of television on our primetime broadcast networks. I remember, you know, Sunday nights being able to watch The Wonderful World of Disney as a youngster, and Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And boy, talk about a wild kingdom. It's a different type of wild kingdom out there now on the publicly owned airwaves.
Well, absolutely. Now, Tim, you also found that some of the most explicit content, including profanity, occurs on programs that are supposed to be more family friendly, including animated programs, some of which you've already mentioned. Tell us about the issues that you found.
Yeah, and John, this is really something that's interesting when we look at you know, long-term themes here in Hollywood. You know, I had the pleasure to work for NBC for 15 years in my career, and you know, during my time at NBC, I don't ever remember once hearing any viewer ever say, "That was a good show, but it would have been even better if you'd put some more profane words in there." You know, a good show, a show that is attracts an audience, is something that's well produced, well directed, well written, well acted, and it does not require constant profanities. And now on television, we hear the constant bleeping of swear words, and sometimes the producers even insert bleeps, even if there weren't swear words used, just to create the impression that there was profanity. It really is concerning and troubling. And what we found in this study, that of these shows about families, 94% of these programs contain some amount of profanity. And you'd think that a show, especially some of these very, you know, family-centric shows, would be able to entertain the public without using four-letter words.
Well, and I think one of the most disturbing findings from the study is that some of the most profane and explicit content is actually being delivered by child actors on these shows. This is really alarming.
Yes, and this also seems to be a very new trend here in Hollywood, but it's growing. And we're trying to stay very much on top of this issue and make sure that we're holding those broadcasters and the advertisers that sponsor these programs accountable for not just airing the profanity and the explicit content, but now that they have the child actors, the child characters actually delivering some of the most crude and explicit content in the entire program. This is new. This is troubling. And if you're a child watching, you know, your parents are telling you to behave and do the right thing and be honorable and respectful, and you turn on the TV and you see other children doing the exact opposite. The messages to children are very conflicting, and even the most diligent parent trying to communicate as clearly as they can their values to their child, you know, there is an impact on that child's perspective. Is, you know, maybe my parents think this way, but look how everybody else thinks. That is a very negative impact, and it's, again, a very troubling trend.
Well, certainly so. Now, Tim, the PTC study also shows that many of these television programs about families that contain explicit content are actually rated PG, but are missing a rating descriptor. What is the rating descriptor, and how is it supposed to work?
Yeah, the television industry, at the behest of our federal government about 20 years ago, came up with this V-chip, which is inside every television set, that is supposed to be able to help parents block unwanted programming. And it's also, just like when we go to the movie theaters, you go to a PG movie or a PG-13 movie, it's supposed to guide you in terms of what type of content you can expect, so you're not blindsided by stuff that, you know, really inappropriate things, age inappropriate, and things that folks might find offensive. So the TV industry followed along what we see in the motion picture industry. Every show is rated. Sadly, it's rated by the networks themselves. There is no independent body rating these shows. The networks decide for themselves what the content rating will be. There's similar to what you see in movies, TV PG, TV 14, etc. But they also have descriptors to help parents understand what type of material is in the show. D for dialogue, meaning there's explicit dialogue. or suggestive dialogue. L for language, meaning there's profanity in the show. S meaning sex, and V meaning violence. So D, L, S, V are the four descriptors. And what we found is that across these shows, there was a huge amount of inaccurate content rating going on where descriptors were entirely missing. 30% of the shows rated PG did not accurately warn parents of what the content was on these explicit shows that, you know, again, we would have thought would be safe for family-friendly viewing.
Well, Tim, you know, it seems that there's not a lot of truly family-friendly content on broadcast television that families can sit down, as you described, your experiences growing up and mine as well, that you sit down with your family and watch together. It's wholesome, it's good, it's enjoyable, entertaining, fun, but it is, you know, in large part void of all the types of things that we've been discussing today. What advice can you offer to parents? How can they guard against some of the exposure to the types of things we've been talking about today?
Well, the first thing that parents must understand is that much of this material that's on broadcast television today truly is harmful to children. So if you start from the standpoint of we take so much care in so many other aspects of our children and grandchildren's lives, you know, we put them in car seats and we try to feed them healthy foods and we try to make sure they go to good schools and we do the best we can to keep them safe. This is something that they need to also be safe and protected from. In terms of education, you have to know that you have to be aware of the content that's out there. Make sure that you're aware of what your children are consuming in the form of media, not just television, but today they're bombarded 24/7 by electronic media through cell phones and tablets and video games and more. And the second thing, in addition to being educated and involved, is being an activist. You don't have to stand for this as the status quo. You can join your voice with others around the country through the PTC or through other organizations and speak up, speak out, and hold those accountable who produce and air and underwrite stuff that's harmful. We urgently need parents to be aware, to be mindful, to be involved, and to use their voice and speak up and speak out.
And I think it's helpful for parents to understand, for concerned citizens to understand what you've stated a number of times during our discussion today, that the broadcast airwaves for radio and television are owned by the public. And we really do have a civic responsibility to speak out when those airwaves are being used in a manner that is contrary to what we believe is in the best interest of our children and our families and our societies. I know that the Parents Television Council offers some great resources for helping parents to get involved. First of all, tell us where they can find a copy of the study, Remembering Family, and also give us the website for the PTC itself.
Well, the beauty of what we're trying to do is put everything in one-stop shopping for everyone. And all of the information is available on our website, which is www.parentstv.org. And from our homepage there, you can learn more about the studies, that the research report we just talked about, this Remembering Families research report. You can learn about how to be an activist. We have a family guide to television programming. It's kind of like a TV guide, but instead of just telling you, well, here's what the plot is of the show, we can share with you, here are the types of concerning content a parent might encounter while watching this show with their children. So all of that is there at parentstv.org, and it really is a very powerful resource in terms of education and activism, and you can learn how to become more involved if you'd like to. Membership in the PTC is free. We invite your listeners to be members and get our weekly emails so you can be more informed, more educated, more enlightened, and more involved in helping to solve something that really needs to be solved.
Well, and we would certainly encourage all of our listeners to avail themselves of those resources, and also considering supporting the Parents Television Council because of the great work that you all do. Tim Winter, unfortunately, we're out of time for this week, but I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for the very important work that you do at the Parents Television Council.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Happy New Year to you and to your listeners.
Before we close, I would like to invite you to follow the North Carolina Family Policy Council on Facebook. Just log in and find us at ncfamily.org. Again, at ncfamily.org. Be sure to like us when you visit. In addition, for instant updates on pro-family news of interest, follow us on Twitter at ncfamily.org. Again, that's at ncfamily.org. Thank you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.